Let's bring in the chairman of the Republican Party here in South Carolina, Drew McKissick. Mr. Chairman, good to hear you again. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll just have to say, in y'all's defense, I can join you, rather. Now, I've been a James Brown fan for the better part of over four decades. So, you know, don't let the haters get you down.
Never, Mr. Chairman. I mean, what would we do without them? They help us drive the show on a regular basis.
That's,
you
right.
know, we love the love, but, man, the haters, nothing better than watching their hair, you know, catch on fire and smoke pour out of their ears like we've seen over the last couple of days. But before we get into some of the news of the day, I'm not sure who thought it would be a good idea to hold a special election on, like, the day after New Year's, but apparently we did here in the state of South Carolina. The Republican candidate won narrowly. Can you just give us the lowdown on that and whether or not they think there is a concern for the Republican Party in our state moving into the midterms in 2026?
Well, sure. So here, we had, let's see, one, two, three, I think it was four special state house elections over the course of the last 3 weeks, I believe it was, basically. Two in the upstate, you know, it was because of, this was because of resignation and someone running for something else. So that caused a special state house seat race, a special state senate race, and a special state house race down in Lexington. Those were all basically Christmas week, that Tuesday. And then we had one in, and of course, we won all three of those. And then we have one here in Dorchester, down in Somerville, this past Tuesday on January 6th, because of another resignation. That district particularly was the closest drawn, if you will, of all the districts. Trump won that district by, 53-47. So it was a Trump plus six district. And, you know, so we ended up winning by, you know, a little less than half a point, 21 votes to be exact. But the reality is, we've seen this in these specials across the country, a couple of things. One, Democrats, obviously, very, very motivated. Two, you know, unfortunately, we have, you know, Republicans who, you know, very, very happy that Donald Trump got elected, and they think Donald Trump's going to take care of fix everything, and they don't obviously always focus enough on the fact that Donald Trump needs people to help him do the things that he needs to do. So whether that's congressional races or local government, you got to get just as excited about getting out and getting those folks across the finish line as you were about getting the president in the White House, because he can't do everything by himself. So, you know, we are, in a lot of ways, and I've said this since I've been state chairman, we can become victims of our own success. People think, you know, we're going to win because we've always been winning, and winning just happens. Well, winning doesn't just happen. It happens because you get out, you do the work, you turn out fellow Republicans, conservative voters, and that's how you win elections. But at the end of the day, we did win. As we look forward, you know, down the road, you mentioned the midterms. You know, I think a lot of stuff's going to go in that. It's too early to really give a barometer there. I think you can still look at economic numbers and be very encouraged. I think the Atlanta Fed yesterday released their estimate for the fourth quarter GDP as being as high as 5.4%, which would just be an incredible blowout GDP and economic growth in the country. That turns out to be true. We know the last quarter was 4.3, which, you know, blew away economists' expectations. So if the economy continues to grow, that's going to be the number one thing, quite frankly, the, you know, pocketbook. We understand that. And people voted on that basis last year, and Donald Trump's aware of that, and he's working on that.
Talking with South Carolina Republican Party Chairman Drew McKissick right now. Speaking of the primary season, the state GOP has set the debates leading into that June primary. We'll have the first one over here at Coastal Carolina. What kind of process goes into that and making sure that we've got ample time across the state to hear from those candidates all on one stage, you know, moving into voting season?
Well, number one, we want to make sure we get around the state. So we're going to be hitting at least four different locations. You know, got there in Conway, we'll be down in Charleston, we'll be up in Spartanburg, we'll be in Newberry before it's all over. And we've got a good deal put together with Gray Media, which will put us on seven of the biggest stations in all the media markets around the state, coming on right after the local news, basically. So great lead in for that, great exposure for our candidates, so people will be able to hear from them and where they want to take the state, what they want to do. And then, of course, they've got a lot of options there locally with local party meetings and so forth. Also hear from those candidates. They're hitting meetings, you know, just about every other day around the week. And there's a lot of local opportunities to hear from them and get involved with them. If you don't know what's going on locally and you want to know, go to scgop.com, scgop.com. Sign up on our website so we can let you know when these candidates are coming around to your area. You can see them, meet them, question them yourself.
Talking again with the SEGOP chairman, Mr. Drew McKissick. This is the first truly open primary in the governor's race in 16 years on the Republican side since the Nikki Haley days. And you know, back then, Nikki Haley had to move through a runoff in order for that to happen. So that very well may be the case moving into the middle of this year.
Right.
All right, a few things going on. You mentioned where the money's going and swing districts. Well, yesterday up on the Hill, 17 House Republicans joined the Democrats to restore the lapsed Obamacare subsidies. Don't know that this is going to go anywhere in the Senate, but there are negotiations ongoing over in the Senate chamber to get a handle on this health insurance issue. Is that just part of the game, right? They've got midterm elections and need to make sure that their district is made whole, and this is why those House Republicans decided to make that vote last night?
If I had to guess, I mean, that's their own personal, local, political considerations, and it remains to be seen whether that will be helpful or hurtful to them. I'm sure there are a lot of Republicans in their districts that are not happy with that. But as you pointed out, though, John Thune, the Republican leader in the Senate, has said that that's dead on arrival in the Senate. So I don't look to see that go anywhere there. And, they're going to have to continue. Democrats are going to have to get serious about negotiating about, potential health care reforms. And that's something, we've been talking about since Obamacare became law.
Sure.
As you well know, let's put it this way. If you need to subsidize something to that extent for that long, is it really making health care more affordable? Mm-hmm. The answer is no, of course. Obamacare doesn't work. It hasn't worked since day one. It's a fallacy. And the fact that Democrats are trying to continue to subsidize it just underlines that, in my opinion.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, as we get ready to wrap it up here this morning, covering local, statewide, some of the national news, obviously coming out of last weekend, all the talk was surrounding the capture of Nicolas Maduro. Through the middle of the week, it was Minneapolis, Minnesota, whether it be the testimony on the Hill pertaining to the widespread fraud and the misuse of funds and all the different chicanery that have been going on behind the scenes based on what this audit uncovered. And then here towards the tail end of the week, not getting a ton of coverage, but vitally important to far-reaching region around the world, and that's over in the Middle East. Right now, Iran has shut down the internet, the biggest anti-regime protests over the last 12 days of unrest. You see it bubble up to the surface every now and then it kind of goes away. Yeah. How important and significant is this when it comes to foreign policy, adversaries and allies around the world, and what's going on over there in that country?
It has been a tremendous week because you've seen what you saw in Venezuela. That weakens Cuba and just hastens the demise of that regime there. And now you're seeing the death throes, I believe, of the mullahs in Iran. If that actually happens, and again, it's bigger than it's ever been before. The merchant class, for the first time, is participating in this uprising. That's very, very telling. And the foreign minister of Iran, by the way, yesterday there was a report that he took his family to Beirut. He has escaped the country for an undetermined period of time, the story said. So he's getting out of the way. All of this is going to ricochet around the world, in my opinion, obviously to the benefit of American foreign policy and just to people who would like to have control of their own destinies rather than have, the thumb of somebody's socialist dictatorial government on top of their back.
I mean, boy, oh boy, with unrest in Iran and the situation still unfolding in Venezuela, it has to be making our Chinese adversaries and our Russian adversaries a little uneasy as to where they might be going in terms of what's important to them in the future.
That's exactly, because those countries had been their allies, both Russia and China's allies in different places around the world. And the point is, a lot of what they had done in terms of Iran and Venezuela, particularly not so much Cuba, had helped finance a lot of what Russia and China does around the world, which has been problematic for our country. What Donald Trump has done has been like the equivalent of a three combination bank shot in pool. And it's, again, in my opinion, going to ricochet around the world to the benefit of our foreign policy, no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no question on foreign policy matters. Trump may be frustrating to listen to. Love him, hate him, don't care, indifferent about his rhetoric. At some point, you have to look at some of the results that are playing out in real time, as we've seen this week. Hey, Mr. Chairman, as always, enjoy the conversation. We'll do it again next Friday.
Yes, sir. Have a great one now. Thank you.
And you do as well. That's the South Carolina Republican Party Chairman, Mr. Drew McKissick, with us every Friday, keeping us up to date on some of the news that they're following at the statewide party level. And, of course, highlighting some of the headlines nationally, in this case, internationally, as we wrapped it up with him just a few seconds back.